Welcome to Panelcast, Forbidden Panels podcast, featuring comic book, movie, and video game news and reviews. And now your hosts, AJ and Martin.
Hey guys, and welcome to episode 105 of the Panelcast. I'm Martin, and I'm here with...
AJ.
Daniel.
Daniel from Forbidden Panel. If you guys haven't checked him out, he writes The Plagued. And he's hanging out with us here at Four Color Fantasies in Rancho Cucamonga as we are doing 24-hour comic book day. And it's a little rambunctious inside, so we decided to step out for a bit, as most of the artists and writers have been here for a little over 12 hours now. You guys have been here. How are you feeling?
Worn out.
I'm a writer.
So it's a lot of fun. It looks like everyone's working really hard in there. We're going to get to talking to as many of them as will go on record inside, and we'll check out some of the big news that came out this week on comic books. So with that, we will be back shortly. Hang on.
This is Brian of the Forbidden Panel Podcast. I just want to invite you to listen to my companion podcast, The Geek Girls, featuring one-on-one interviews with geeky ladies. Look for Geek Girls on ForbiddenPanel.com.
Welcome back, everybody. There was some big news in the comic book world today, or this week, actually, this past week, and we'll start off with a little bit of small news. The Bad Kids Go to Hell movie that was talked about a little bit at Comic-Con this year is where they were trying to get the drive going for it. Is based on a comic book from Antarctic Press. I don't know much about the comic book. AJ, have you read it? Daniel? Daniel, you've read it. Now, what are your thoughts on the comic book?
Well, I actually know the guys that wrote it. I met them in 2010 when their first issue was coming out and talked to them. And it's pretty interesting. It's a lot like Breakfast Club if Breakfast Club was mixed with Pet Sematary. So.
Sounds like a movie that would be, yeah.
That was pretty good. It's definitely an interesting read.
Yeah. Well, they were picked up to have it adapted as a film, and they've officially given it a release date of December 7th in select markets, and then if it does well from there, it's going to expand into the bigger nationwide release. Big news for what sounds like a smaller comic book press, and that'll be cool to see going out there. And who doesn't want to see a movie about Breakfast Club mixed in with Pet Sematary?
That seems to be the way to go lately, is that they're picking up all these little indie stories and whatnot because, you know, less rights that they have to deal with. So it's a good deal for people like themselves and ourselves, you know. They want to pick up small, independent, self-contained storylines that don't have a lot of backstory and can develop fans through the popularity of the film coming out as well as the comic book itself. So it seems like a good, smart choice and gives me a lot of hope.
Yeah, because I was just about to ask. It seems like from that little tone there, you're excited for a Zombie Kill Squad movie at some point in time.
GKS, Plague, whatever the heck book they want to pick up out of ours, it's fine with me. I still get a paycheck.
Yeah.
And I know specifically with Bad Kids to Hell, I'm excited about it because the writers of the comic book actually got to write the script for the movie and do a lot of the filming and had to do with the casting choices. So that's always exciting to see, like, the actual creators get personally involved in the actual
story. But that would happen with Walking Dead too, you know, and I'm not saying that Walking Dead is not a great show, but it's definitely building a different fan base as opposed to the comics. I think a lot of comic readers and fans of the Walking Dead are kind of burnt out on it by now and not watching it as much, but the new fans and horror fans of just the TV show itself seem to be growing, and that's what's carrying the momentum on, and you know, again, Kirkman had direct involvement in that. So I mean, I don't know. It'll take up its own monster. And like you said, it's good that they're picking it up and good that they're getting momentum and all that stuff. But and that they're being involved in it. But yeah, we've seen comic book adaptations go bad before. So with the acceptance of Dredd.
Yeah, that was definitely true. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see the movie come to theaters. And it looks like we only have to wait till December. It's not one of those things where you got to wait a whole other year. A lot of these Comic-Con panels that I sit in on, it's always talking about a movie that's going to hopefully make it to theaters if it gets a distribution deal, and then it comes out 2 years later.
Well, like Daniel said, I mean, it came out in 2010.
The book, yeah.
And, you know, when they started picking up on the film rights. Was it this year or last year?
No, it was last year.
So 2011.
Last year they were already writing the script.
Damn near 2 years later. So it is a good base.
And they, but their presence at Comic Con this year was big. It was one of those panels that people sought to go to and to go after, and they had a booth down on the floor to promote it and things like that. So it's really cool to see it going from a Comic Con perspective. You know, usually we see San Diego 2012, we're going to see a panel, and then 2 years later we'll see a movie.
I've personally seen this before, maybe on Daniel's level, with another book called The Villicon Chronicles, where another company I was working for at the time, I wrote a review on the comic book, and based on that review they were picked up by Sony and started filming for it, and the person that wrote it, Brian Kinnard, had direct involvement in it, and you know, that was 8 years ago and the film still hasn't come out. So I mean, it's, you know,
yeah, it's hit and miss with it. You never know, and it's really cool to kind of see this. And then there's big name movies that we never see. You know, this Deadpool one, which is a nice segue into our next part of it. The Deadpool movie's been talked about for how many years? Ryan Reynolds being attached to it. They, you know, they want to make sure that it's rated R and things like that. This week, the oh so loved by comic book news sites Rob Liefeld, and came out with a bunch of Twitter posts about what's going on with the movie, with Mark Millar coming on over at 20th Century Fox to help hone in on what they're going to do with their Marvel properties, working together and having meetings and stuff. He put out a couple statements that got fans excited, talking about how the new video game coming out next year is going to build a lot of hype and popularity for the character, which should help push the movie. Ryan Reynolds has gone on to say that he knows there's a script, it's just about money and time, and as long as it's rated R, he would still like to do it. So that was really cool. The director that is working with it, Tim Miller, he made a statement that it's now in Fox's hands. He's waiting for the go-ahead from them. They just need a green light to go forward with it. They think they have a great script. There's rumored to be some teaser footage out there that probably won't get leaked on the internet soon, but it'll eventually be found.
It's along the same lines as the teaser footage made for Ant-Man.
Right.
So it's test footage more than anything else to show the studio execs what they're getting involved with. So the other bit of news I heard, rumor control, in that Liefeld had, you know, some direct input into it.
Liefeld!
And so it won't actually have the comedic feel that Deadpool has now, but more of the, you know, smart-ass and cockiness so that he had before, so he won't be totally insane. So for those current fans of Deadpool, they may be disappointed in going in to see the movie. But for the old-school fans, like the Deadpool, I'm a fan of, I know
classic.
I would enjoy it. Yeah. So we'll see how that goes.
And you know, that's one of those properties, again, though, that we've been hearing about it ever since Ryan Reynolds appeared back in that Wolverine movie. And to this day, we haven't gotten a trailer, we haven't gotten a date. The script has been put in. And so there's a lot of tidbits to it going forward with it. And it'll, you know, we got Bad Kids Go to Hell going December. Let's see if Deadpool will be back next year, maybe. And with a Comic-Con season full of big superheroes next year, it'd be interesting to see if they're going to bring that forward.
I think
forward.
If anything, they're just being trepidatious over the fact that Dread was an R-rated comic book movie, and it was one of the very few R-rated comic book movies, and while fans loved it, it did poorly at the box office. So maybe they're just afraid to go at it with another R-rated film, seeing as how it might be performed poorly at the box office, and then they won't make their money back. So,
and that's actually a really good comparison. We were at Dread. It was amazing.
Right.
It was awesome. We didn't expect that. And it was rated R, and the box office did not show great for it, unfortunately, compared to other movies
because
out there.
I think what the problem with Dread, though, is that the taste of Stallone was still in people's mouth.
Yeah.
So when they think about Dread, that's what they think back to, and they're like, I don't want to see that shit again. So they may have been afraid of it. However, you know, the geek outcry that the very few of us that did read the UK magazine that came out originally isn't enough to warrant more non-geeks to go see it or trust us. You know, especially with the 3D staple on it. So much things are in 3D nowadays that it just puts a bad taste in everybody's mouth. So the difference is that this was actually filmed in 3D instead of being overlaid with 3D effects. So it came off real good, and the parts that needed to be 3D stood out and flowed perfectly. So hopefully, you know, Deadpool won't get that stigma and comes out and becomes a decent movie.
Now, do you think that the stigma of Ryan Reynolds as that almost Deadpool character in the Wolverine movie is going to affect that and follow the character part?
Yeah,
or maybe
if anything kills the Deadpool movie, it'll be the Wolverine movie. I mean, because he was still, honestly, at the end of the movie, that wasn't Deadpool. That was Weapon X, that was Mimic, you know, whatever you want to call it. But that was not Deadpool. And so if I guess that's what people are thinking when they walk into this Deadpool movie, how that's going to tie together, then they're making a huge mistake, and that's going to be the killer of it. Wolverine being such a bad movie, Ryan Reynolds having such a small role in it, because he wasn't even the actor at the end either. That was a different actor. So I think maybe that would put a bad taste in everybody's mouth, thinking, well, it's not canon, it's crap, it's going to be crap like it was before, you know. That'll prevent people from going to go see it. However, you know, us diehard fans, whether it's crap or good or bad, or good, we're still going to go see it at midnight because we just like midnight comic book movies.
Right.
So.
I think another thing, specifically with Dread, and I know with Spider-Man 2, is people are kind of burnt out on remakes right now.
Right.
And that's a hard thing. That Spider-Man didn't do as well as it could have, even though I thought it was a great movie, just because it's so close to the other one. And then...
It was 5 years apart, and that's a bad time.
Yeah, I mean, it's Spider-Man. It's still in everybody's minds. Everybody sees, like, the first Spider-Man,
right.
But everyone kind of ignores the third Spider-Man where shit got crazy.
And it's sad because, I mean, you look at those two differences, the 5-year difference between the movies, and people don't understand that the new Spider-Man was made not because of the confidence in the new story, director, or actors or anything, but it was made so that Sony can keep the rights to Spider-Man. Because if they didn't do anything with the character, they had to release the rights back to Marvel. Now owned by DC, and then that's why he would have been able to show up in Avengers and stuff had that movie not been made.
Yeah.
So, and that's why it was such a small age gap between the two movies. So, but that again affects the box office because they're like, well, this just came out. Why are we seeing this again? It's retarded. You know, how many times have we seen a Spider-Man origin story, cartoons, TV, movies, stuff like that? I mean, there's been at least 15 different iterations of the origin of Spider-Man, even Spider-Man 2099. So it's, you know, burnt out on that point. Deadpool, however, has only shown up in one movie. Plenty of video games, plenty of comic book illustrated movies like Hulk Versus.
Yeah.
To where it's, you know, has a little cult following plus the comic book, so hopefully it'll do well.
Now, if they go forward with this Deadpool movie, quick vote on this. Do you guys think it should go 3D or no?
No.
I agree with him, no.
But again, I think if it's filmed in 3D, sure. But, you know, if it's made specifically for 3D, like Judge Dredd, sorry guys, I've been here 13 hours, forgive me, Judge Dredd, then possibly, depending on what it is. But you're asking for over-the-top, uber-violence and gore at this point, which, again, we saw in Dredd, but not on the level that we'll see in Deadpool, because that's all Deadpool is about. So, plus, who wants to see Deadpool without a mask in 3D?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they keep that part. Because it'll be one of the few times where, again, Dredd, as a comparison, Carl Urban is a well-known actor and kind of like a pretty boy. He's known for his looks and whatnot. So he had to act past that mask. Seeing Ryan Reynolds' destroyed face with the mask on the whole time, will that still attract people to it? Because the number one rule in acting and movie making is to always show the eyes. Never cover the eyes so that the audience can identify with the character. If they do that in this one, you know, keep his mask on, will it have the same effect? Will the movie fail like Dredd did? And if not, will he take the mask off and will he be ugly?
Yeah.
And destroyed? Because that'll be a huge shot to us comic book fans who expect him to be, you know, riddled with cancer sores and stuff. For those that don't know the Deadpool backstory, Wade Wilson had cancer. He was given the healing factor as a test to be Weapon 13, and it counteracted with the cancer so badly that it created open sores on his body. That's the one thing it can't heal. So he's horrendously destroyed. So can Ryan Reynolds, a known pretty boy, pull off that character? I mean, we saw him in a box, you know,
yeah.
And he did pretty decently in a box, but will he do good ugly? And so therein lies the question. So,
and whether or not the studio will make him go with the,
right.
Hey, we need your face, but at the same time, he's not doing well when he's showing his face.
Well, and that also ties back with the Wolverine Origins movie, is he wasn't disfigured at all in that movie. And if they keep it with that, and they have him take off the mask, and he's just Ryan Reynolds, I mean, that's going to be a huge letdown for
right.
Tons of people.
Cool. The next bit of news that was out there this week is Warner Brothers and DC Comics won a huge victory. They got to maintain the rights, basically, to Superman and many key parts of the Superman story, which the Schuster family, one of the original creators, was fighting for. Had Warner Brothers lost it, they would not be able to be telling stories after 2013 of Superman's birth. Lois Lane, I believe, was involved in it, and a couple other...
Jimmy Olsen.
Superman's origin pieces
yeah.
were involved with it, which is why Warner Brothers pushed for the Superman movie that's coming out next summer, Man of Steel, to be made. They're trying to get it out for this year.
That's also why they didn't name it Superman.
Right. And it got bumped to 2013, the summer of 2013, and now they're able to retain those rights, which will, of course, be appealed, but at the same time, a lot of legal experts are saying that this is now towards the end of this fight, and hopefully it'll be taken care of, either won't be appealed, or it'll just be settled out of court.
Right.
It was big news, and immediately afterwards, the next big piece of news that came out was that there's a rumor going around, and LA Times published this, which was the first place I heard about it, and I found that interesting, was that Justice League, the movie, would be hitting theaters in 2015.
Through the fact that now they can use Superman.
Yeah, Superman, they're gonna have the right, the ability to use him, and then Marvel's kicking their ass with all of these movies and phase two of all their movies coming out. And so when does DC and Warner Brothers want to bring this thing to the theaters? The same summer Avengers 2 hits.
Right.
And so now we have this big clash that's going to happen in the summer of 2015, if they're able to pull it off. Now there's no cast, there's no director, they have a script. It's in place, but they've got to rush and now make this movie next year, have it ready to go to editing and things like that out for summer 2015.
And to promote at Comic-Con in both years.
Right. So the one thing that immediately came to my head is we're going to see the cast of Justice League walk on the stage at Comic-Con 2013. From there, I don't know exactly where they go forward with it. I mean, that's...
Well, in this case, in my opinion, it's a catch-22. I mean, you want to be happy for the fans and that now we get to see Superman and the rights are released, but at the same time, we're fucking over Schuster's family. You know, like, we're cheering at the fact that the person that created this and all that is getting screwed over out of the rights and they're not allowed to have any say-so in the character. So, again, same kind of concept. If Daniels the Plague gets made into a movie and... somehow you don't get any rights to it, you make no money off of it, you can't even say officially that your name is on it or that you have anything to do with it, but the fans are getting their movie, would that make you happy at all? I mean, you're being ignored at this point.
I'd be really pissed off.
Exactly.
Because so, I'd want money out of it.
Right, but the fans are cheering, so the fans are basically shitting on you and not caring about you or your family's rights or the fact that you have any say-so into this movie, because now they get a Justice League movie, which will probably be made into shit. I mean, let's be honest, it's a rush job at this point. So, I mean, how do you cheer for that? How do you feel about that? You know, that's you can't really vote either way. I mean, yeah, sure, as a fan, I get to see the cool movie, Man of Steel, all this stuff, but as a creator, I'm like, I don't ever want to be put in that position because I think that's bullshit. I don't want my son not having to be able to say, yeah, my dad made that, and be proud, and be able to live comfortably based off the work I did and the sweat off my back, just to appease people we don't even know. If there's a way to have some sort of equal ground in that, to where the fans get what they want and the family gets what they deserve, then sure, I'll be a cheering fanboy like everybody else. But in this case, I think it's bullshit, personally. So, but again, with the Justice League movie, it's going to be rushed, in my opinion. We got 2 years to throw something together to find actors that aren't already contracted for next year to film a movie, which is going to be impossible, to haphazardly put something together, and it's going to be sloppy. To compete against the Avengers, it's just not going to happen. Because we're already walking into Avengers, balls to the wall, gung-ho, happy. And the reason we did that is because it carried over some of the actors that Marvel laid down in Phase 1. We had Thor, we had Captain America, we had Hawkeye, we had Black Widow, we had Iron Man. We had all these characters with the same actors that portrayed them throughout all the movies, with the exception of the Hulk, and coming into it. So we automatically identified with the Avengers. And we were like, great, we watched all those movies for this. This is the grand finale, this is the fucking home run, awesome. We can't do that with Justice League. Ryan Reynolds can't be Green Lantern because he's contracted through Marvel right now. Christian Bale says he will not put on the cowl ever again. So already, two major characters are out the door. So now we got to find a Wonder Woman, which DC's putting out a crappy TV show based on her in high school. Are we going to get that actress to portray her? Are we going to get... what's his name from Smallville to portray Superman? You know, what's going to happen at this point? Are we going to get the guy portraying Arrow to be Green Arrow in the Justice League movie? Probably not. So we're going to get actors that we have no investment in based on characters that we don't know about to see a movie just because Superman can now be in it.
And aren't they already trying to put out another Batman movie?
They want to do a reboot again, yeah.
Yeah,
they want to do a
and
reboot.
They want to do it soon, right?
But the reboot that they want to do is Batman Beyond with Levitt as Batman.
And do you think that they would use that Batman character in the Justice League?
If they do, it would have to be Justice League Beyond.
Yeah.
So that goes on to the expansion of the idea on this news was that Justice League would be the reverse of what Marvel did. So Marvel set the course
right.
with Phase 1 with their movie, brought their individual characters, did a movie with the group. And then they're going into Phase 2 doing the same thing again. So
yeah.
we're going to have Captain America 2, Thor 2, several sequels leading into Avengers 2. Justice League, the only movie they have coming out prior is Man of Steel. They're banking on that Man of Steel to do well. If that does well, possibly using Henry Cavill as Superman again to maybe start the Justice League in this movie, and then from there they would break off and do the Batman, the redo of Batman. They would hopefully get a Flash movie or a Wonder Woman movie or something like that out of it. But there's all these questions out there. Do they bring Ryan Reynolds back? Who do they have in the Justice League?
Well, see, and the problem with that is if Justice League sucks, nobody's going to want to see the other independent films.
Right.
Yeah, I don't mean indie films, obviously. I mean independent character films.
Right.
So, I mean, they're again, shooting themselves in the foot at this point. They should take the time. The only way that they're going to successfully pull it off is if they do realistic video games based on these individual characters, Flash, Green Lantern, Hawkman, all that stuff, before the film comes out, and then use maybe the voice actors or the body model actors or what have you to play these characters in the movie. That's the only way you're going to build up any kind of new fan base. Old fan base will go see it, you know, because we're just old fans, but... other than that, I mean, what do we have to go off of? There's no cartoon out with the Justice League right now except for Young Justice.
Mm-hmm. Which has been delayed and
put on hiatus until January with no explanation given hours before it was supposed to come on TV. Again, another retarded move on DC and Warner Brothers. So,
yeah. So it seems like it's going to be a rush job, and it's not going to be done in the right way.
It feels like they're trying to get this filmed in 2014 before the appeal goes through, and they have a chance to lose it. Because once the appeal goes through, they can't film it. But if they film it before the appeal goes through, then they're like, well, we already have the property and the project already made, money invested. Unless you plan on backing us up for the money we made, you're lost.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that I think in addition to that as well, is I think they're trying to get in on this superhero trend. I think that they're worried, the studios are starting to worry that we're going to lose interest in going to these movies by 2015.
See,
2015 is the bubble bust.
That's the mistake that they're making. In case you guys haven't seen, or if they haven't noticed, DC is rocking it in the animation industry. They are destroying Marvel left and right with all their movies that have been coming out. Superman versus the Elite, Batman Under the Red Hood, Batman The Dark Knight Returns, all this stuff. They are killing it on the animation field. And if they were smart, they would just reinvest the property and the energy and the money that they have in the live-action film and go just keep going in the animation film. Let Marvel have the live-action. That's cool. But go in the animation film and make it a big-budget theatrical release of the animation field that they've been doing, make it killing easily. Superman vs. Elite, I didn't even really know much about the Elite, but that movie fucking was rocked. Like, I've been watching it 2 or 3 times since then, you know? If they would have gone big screen release, they would have had it. And they would have nailed it. And I think that's what they should be focusing on.
Yeah, and I see movies like The Dark Knight Returns as something that should be in theaters. I think
right.
it's something that people will sit there and watch both parts at midnight screenings for years to come once we have them both out.
Right. And then take the time to do the live action right. I mean, the only thing that they've done right, live action, has been The Dark Knight Rises. You know, and that's thanks to Christopher Nolan and Christian Bale and Heath Ledger.
Yeah, and that brings up my conflict with it, is that you have The Dark Knight and all the Christopher Nolan Batman movies, and they're all very, very dark.
Right, and based on reality.
Yeah, and then you have The Green Lantern, which almost felt like a kid's movie by the end of it with the animation
right.
style and just how everything was going.
Like another Fantastic Four at that point.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And those two worlds would not mix for
right.
a Justice League movie at all.
And that's why they did Thor right. They brought it to Earth, made it realistically based, you know, not over-the-top special effects or anything like that. So when he came to the Avengers, it felt natural, like a natural fit. Same with Iron Man, based in science, it felt like a natural fit. The only problem with the Avengers that didn't feel natural were the people that didn't have the big powers. You know,
yeah.
the ground war.
Yeah.
You know, that was 90% or 75% of the team at that point. But it still managed to work out. How are they going to do that with Justice League? There's no build-up. There's no love for these characters in a live-action film, besides Batman and possibly Superman when it comes out.
Well, and also...
I mean, they'd be better off making a World's Finest movie.
Right.
Yeah. And Batman's the only ground character
right.
in all of the Justice League.
I mean, it looks like they're trying to take that route with the Man of Steel movie, based on the trailers that we've seen with it, and what Zack Snyder's been saying, but... And if that's the case, cool, do a World's Finest movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see Christian Bale and Henry Cavill as Batman and Superman dealing with those problems. because those are some of the, like, Batman and Superman, Batman Apocalypse, again, another animated film, but, you know, which is based on those two characters dealing with villains that we'd never seen live action before. So they can technically pull that off in a live action film.
And they've done it twice now in the animated
right,
film.
Doom.
They did Doom and they did Apocalypse. They had Public Enemies.
Yeah.
And they, you know, you bring out these characters that it was such a good team up and people really dug those. I mean, the way they brought those two characters together in the storyline worked still. You know, they were still at odds with each other, but at the same time they were a team.
Right.
And so that was really cool. To me, to see Christian Bale come back, I think would be the only way to bring Batman back right now.
Right.
Unless we get a good decade break. To bring someone in like Arnie Hammer, who was one of the ones I heard,
yeah.
You know, he's gonna be Lone Ranger. There's no way he could be Bruce Wayne Batman. That's not gonna work, especially 3 years
on the
later.
Lone Ranger movie.
Yeah, the Lone Ranger movie will leave until it actually hits theaters. But it seems like the way that they want to do this is they're trying to rush to screens, and that's gonna end up coming back to bite them, and it's gonna fail again.
If you rush to make a good movie, you're gonna make a crappy movie going against a good movie. Justice League will just make Avengers 2 even better.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And that's what it's going to be. It will be that, good job, DC. We're just going to stick with Marvel movies from now on. Don't ever bother bringing anything
right.
out. I think it'll also hurt the comic properties.
And I think it'll actually make the Dark Knight Rises trilogy look bad.
Yeah.
You know, at that point. Like, well, you had all this fantastic... fucking thing won an Oscar, you know, for Heath Ledger's role in it, and then you bring this shit. So you just shat all over your legacy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so... retarded.
Yeah, so we'll have to keep on that news and see where it goes from there, but stay tuned and we'll keep you guys updated on what we find out and as it comes out and any of their associated shows or animated films. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back we will be in the room with the 24-hour comic book gang that is at Four Color Fantasies.
Hi, this is Justin White of Necrosapien Press and artist of ZKS, the Zombie Kill Squad, and you should come check out ForbiddenPanel.com for all your latest geek needs.
Hey guys, Martin here, and we are now inside with the group participating in 24-hour comic book day. I'm actually sitting down with a few of the guys now to ask some questions and see what's going on. Let's find out what's going on. So I have Jimmy and John and Daniel here, and they're working hard on their... pages.
Oh, we're working hard.
And there's 24 pages in 24 hours.
A little chub.
Hard.
There's only one girl here.
So
if you count B. But I'm over black women now, so you know.
So we're at the 14-hour-ish mark. How are you guys feeling?
Yeah. You just told people that you're semi-chub on the podcast.
And racist.
Not full throbbing, yo. I'm gonna fuck
it
this
is
chick.
Draw hard. All right. I'm not making any illusions.
Now we know why the tattoos are there.
Yeah. You thought Robert Crumb was creepy. Okay, that's why I'd like to draw by myself with nobody watching.
Just so your podcast people know, he does have tattoos of one hand saying draw, one hand saying hard. Continue.
And only when it's in a fist, so.
Yeah. Or holding something.
So Jimmy, what are you working on for 24-hour comic book day?
Glad you asked. I do a webcomic called Ben Better. You can find it at binbettercomic.com.
Man, you're just going to have it.
Binbettercomic.com. That's two E's, two T's. Same shit as always.
And what page are you currently on?
I think I'm on page 13 or something, but I've been, you know, going on shuffle, so it says page 4, but, you know. Who
you're
cares, really?
In and out of order. You're sitting next
definitely.
To John Narcomi, so who knows what's going on, right?
Yeah, I'm drawing in Tarantino style, just all over the place.
Very cool. And John, your picture looks pretty there. What page are you on?
8,000.
I think.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Huh? Yeah, 8. Huh?
Eight. Of the big city. Now, is
after
this
14 hours.
Yes.
Is this something you sat here and came up with?
Yes.
We don't cheat like other people.
Yeah.
No cheating here.
Julian.
Yeah. We'll get down to that end of the table a little bit later.
Usually the whole 24-hour thing is you don't even think of an idea. Well, you can think of an idea, but you don't write it down until you actually come here. You write it, you draw it, you make it at the wherever you're gonna wherever you're taking on a challenge.
And you guys are, there's ink on the page. This isn't just penciling. This isn't just sketching. You guys actually have panels and John, you have paint out. This looks pretty serious.
I draw hard, dude.
Yeah.
I draw hard.
Now, from where I've been
it's
sitting
all
night,
the way of life, man.
There's been a lot of laughing and conversations and things going on down on this end. Is this enhancing the comics that you guys are writing?
Oh, no.
It's not helping.
It's procrastinating the comics.
There's things happening.
Sorry, shit.
That I can't explain with words.
Yeah.
Jesus H, mother of God.
And sandwiching John in on the other side is Daniel, who we all know from the plague. Daniel, how's it going on your side?
I'm on page 18 penciling, and I'm not doing ink because I'm tired of doing all this shit myself.
And what is the story that you were working on 24-hour comic book day?
Guy going crazy, killing zombies, ends up killing normal people.
And this is a spin-off of The Plague, correct?
Yeah, it's a single-story issue of The Plague that's specific to this 24-hour comic book day. Chris gets to be the guy that gets murdered. Yeah, Chris, store owner.
And after 14 hours of sitting next to Draw Hard Comics as John Narhumi, have you learned much from the veteran?
I learned not to take 2 hours for one page.
And don't talk about eating soy.
Yeah. If you're going to be vegan, don't admit to John, if you're a guy.
Soy riso.
Not a word! Soy riso is not a word!
And real quick, you guys, why 24-hour comic book today? Why sit yourself next to John Narhumi for 24 hours, Jimmy?
You know why?
Oh,
I'm
my
here?
God.
Because Chris is going to let me sit next to the kids out here.
I
have to
assign seating.
Yeah, so John got assigned seating down here on the end. Jimmy?
I love sitting next to my buddy John. It's a whole lot worse. Right after this, we're going to go do the Claremont Pagan House. They're doing a show over there, and we're just going to stay up till whenever we go home after that show, and the show ends at like 5 p.m.
Yeah, I got to go to work till 5 p.m.
Yeah.
So, Daniel, again, that question goes to you. Why 24-hour comic day? That sounds like a really good answer.
Yeah, it is a answer.
Not at all torturous with John Narhumi hanging around.
Oh, why did I sit next to him?
No, not why. We all understand why everyone had to sit next to John now.
Yeah, I sat near Jimmy and he just kind of like appeared there about 10 minutes in.
Very cool. Well, keep it up, guys, and we look forward to seeing the product of your 24 hours here at Four Color Fantasies. Okay, so I've made my way down the table. I'm down with Junior and Lou, who you guys may have heard around on our show before. Junior's working really hard. It looks like Lou's trying to escape or something.
Oh, we're down at the forbidden panel section of the table.
That was AJ. He got back to work really hard on 24-hour comic book day, and so he left me to mingle with everybody. How's it been going, guys? You guys been here? It's 14 hours in.
I'm exhausted. I had a show earlier today, and I was with kids for 5 hours, and we taught them how to draw, and they wore me out. So I think I'm quitting.
Did you get pages done, Lou? I mean,
what
are you looking at?
I got 17 pages done.
17, okay.
Yeah, so I was on a roll, but my mind has gone stupid, so
So it's time to, like, go take a little nap and then wake back up, hopefully, and...
I'm going to wake up and go to work.
Oh, no. Now, are you going to get back down to the rest of the pages? You want to be putting the other 7 pages out? You got an idea in your mind for them?
Yeah, I got to finish the last part of the story so I can work out the details. And then once I work out the details, then I'll draw the last couple pages.
And can you give us any hints about what you were working on?
I am working on a comic book called The Backlots. And it's pretty much a cartoon detective story. And so he's trying to figure out who's killing the sheep in the pasture with dog and wolf. You know, the old 50s cartoon, you know, the sheep dog protects the sheep and the wolf's trying to eat them. So there's a murder in there, so they're trying to figure out who's killing who.
Very cool. Well, we won't keep you much longer. You go get some rest, and I'll sit and talk with Junior. And Junior, 14 hours in, how you feeling?
I'm not feeling too bad. I have slowed down quite a bit. I'm still chugging along. It's going all right.
Okay, I've heard rumors you've been to a 24-hour comic book day before and have done this and kind of a veteran.
Well, I've only been to one before. It was actually where I met AJ and the other guys from Forbidden Panel. Since then, to tell you the truth, I actually think I've just missed one in between then and now.
What is it that brings you to 24-hour comic book day?
Just a challenge to push myself to try to get something done, since just doing sequential art is just so tough. So, I mean, doing this with a lot of people that are kind of into it also really kind of pumps you up. It gives you that push a little bit. It's almost like a competition, but not really. You're competing against yourself. It just appeals to me.
Okay, cool. And now, AJ snuck in and mentioned that you were sitting in the Forbidden Panel section of the 24-hour comic book day. You right. Write a book with the Forbidden Panel. Would you like to talk about that a little bit?
Sure, it's called Super Maximo. It's about these luchadores that kind of have a horror aspect to it. They deal with supernatural things in a town where a lot of happenings happen.
Okay. 14 hours in, it's okay.
Exactly, that's a good excuse, but it's kind of like a Lovecraftian type of deal.
Okay.
That's the twist on it.
And now, is that the book you're working on, a story like a spinoff from it, or your 24-hour comic book day story a standalone?
No, it is a little bit of a spinoff. It's kind of like, I would say kind of like an origin story, but it has to do more with their abilities.
Okay.
So it kind of goes in depth into that, into explaining it, which almost to say like a character origin, but it's more about the mask.
Okay.
So that's kind of like what this is going to be about.
And about how many pages are you in at the moment?
I am in 12 pages and a cover.
Okay, cool. Very cool. And looking like you're feeling you're going to finish it, you're going to get through it by 10 a.m.?
Well, I'm only shooting for about 16 pages, so I think so. I'm probably going to call it early and make my way back to the desert.
Okay.
So that's what I have in mind. If I feel like maybe pushing it a little bit more, maybe I might, you know, we'll see.
Cool, and now for the style that you're working on, are you just going through and penciling it, and then you'll ink it and color it later, or do you have someone go do that for you?
No, that's probably what I'm going to do. I think some people, it looks like they're knocking out pencils and inks, and I mean, I really applaud them, because that's quite a task, but... I'm just rusty right now. It's been a little bit since I drew comics, so I think penciling is going to be enough for me this time.
Very cool. Well, we hope it keeps up and have fun with it. We'll try and check in with you a little bit later, see how you're holding up as we go closer to 24 hours.
All right.
Thanks, Junior.
Hey, everybody. This is Lou Guevara, and I invite you to take a look at my stuff at ForbiddenPanel.com, and you can also hit me up on Facebook at RipComics@Facebook.com. And you can take a look at my blog spot at RipsComics@blogspot.com. And I hope to see you guys there.
All right, guys, I'm back. And I'm here with one of the two girls participating in 24-hour comic book day among many, many men. Some boys, and as AJ calls them, dirty men. Chrissy, this is your first free 24-hour comic book day we were talking about. Talk about the excitement of being here.
I'm extremely excited. Are you kidding me? I mean, just the whole prospect of just sitting here with a group of people that can actually does the same thing that I do. So that's just...
And you're here with a digital setup, which is a little bit different than some of the people at the table. There's a lot of people out with their boards and things. Why a digital setup?
I've been drawn to it, and ever since that, you know, I got the hang of it, you know, I like the way the color just pops and everything, and I like playing to the internet audience. I think it's a lot more fun, and I seem to get a lot more response, and I don't exactly have a really awesome scanner to, you know, scan my stuff up, so just me doing it digitally just works for me.
Okay, and you were talking about playing to the internet crowd. Are there webcomics and things that you've put out or worked on?
Actually, I had a short-lived web series. I called it Stuffed. It was basically a group of hero plushies come to life, and Batgirl was the host. So she just had a bunch of these plushies running around and doing all kinds of good stuff. But it seemed to get a good response on it online. but it kind of died off because of work, school, etc. and so forth. But yeah.
Are you going to revive that someday? Are you going to bring it back and keep it going?
Well, I kind of tried to a few months ago, you know, give a little teaser to some old fans, and they're like, oh yeah, bring it back. But it's like, yeah, life just not happening right now. So
now,
maybe one day.
Speaking of life, you're coming in. We're at hour 14 to 24-hour conflict day. That's leaving you 10 hours to go. Well, a little bit less as I keep labbing on. You're here after a day shift. How are you feeling going into this late hour?
I'd like to go to sleep right now, but I drink a lot of caffeine, so hopefully I won't crash until like 4 or 5. So
sleep deprivation and a lot of caffeine. How is that going to hinder or help the creative spirit?
Hinder or help? Well, hopefully the caffeine keeps me awake enough and gives me mad delusions to actually get some kind of creative juices flowing so I can figure something out. Yeah.
And do you have any sort of ideas? I know we're looking at a blank screen at the moment, but do you have anything circling around in your head, someplace you want to start?
I really wanted to do some kind of Hellraiser Cenobite kind of spin-off thing. I had it in my mind the other day, but I got too tired enough to even start it. Maybe I'll take it there. Maybe I'll do a fan comic. I have absolutely no idea. I'm just here for the fun of it.
Very cool, very cool. And one of the other things you and I were talking about before recording went on is you work on costuming. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. I mean, I make my own costumes. You know, I'm part of a huge hero community that does a lot of costuming. They go to conventions. Of course, all that mostly is on the East Coast. I can't exactly make those, but I'm there in spirit. So anything out here that I can actually attend, I actually just went to Morphicon, Power Morphicon, Power Ranger convention out in Pasadena a couple months ago. I just finished my biggest project. I was Mara from Power Rangers Ninja Storm. It actually went over pretty well. I even got some of the actors that actually said I was the best there. So that was actually really awesome. And even Mike Jin, the gold RPM Ranger, was extremely impressed. And he found me throughout the crowd. And he would come over, give me hugs. And I'm like, hey, Chrissy, what's up? So that was really, really awesome. So
that's really cool. And would you say that that is then your favorite cosplay costume, or do you have another favorite?
My favorite would have been I was the Flash a few years ago at SCCC. And that seemed to get a lot of attention, but I'm sure it got a lot of guys' attention considering this kind of outfit.
That tends to do it to nerds, yes.
Oh, yes, for sure. But, yeah, getting a chance to dress up as one of my favorite, you know, heroes is probably it. Or even villains. I love the supervillains. I'm a huge nut for supervillains. So.
And is there a costume you're working on for the future?
I am currently working on a Murmur costume for from The Flash. You know, awesome guy, stitches his mouth shut, sliced off, you know, the whole plague virus, good stuff. Yeah, I'm working on him. And I'm also working on Aquaman. Oh my gosh. But yes, I like Aquaman. So. He got a lot better with the reboot. I am not a reboot fan at all, but I like what they did with him.
Well, we will let you get to it and have a lot of fun. Hopefully you get to stay up for the whole rest of the time. Good luck.
Thank you.
And now I've moved on to girl number 2 here at 24-Hour Comic Book Day, Trisha. And how does it feel? You're the other girl. There's only 2 of you here. What's it been like for 14 hours?
Oh, well, I was the first girl for 14 hours.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty cool. I did it like 2 years ago, and I was only girl 2, but it feels nice. I feel at home. I feel comfortable. And this time I feel like I could actually do it.
Cool. Now, tell us a little bit about, you were saying you've done one of these before. You're back this year. What is it about 24-Hour Conflict Day that brings you out?
The pressure and the challenge. Yes, like, I work best under pressure.
That's good. Now, do you work on projects outside of 24-Hour Conflict Day? Are you working on comics, webcomics, things like that right now?
Well, right now I'm trying to get I have a blog going, and I'm trying to get that up and going. I do want to do more artwork, but I've been busy with school a lot, but I definitely do. I do, like, if I could, pieces here and there, like, for the walk-in gallery, I do that. I've been I used to do comics a lot when I was younger, and like now that I'm older, I haven't been able to as much, but I still want to do it. That's been my dream since I was a child.
That's pretty cool. I think a lot of the people in the room today, that was the dream. The idea of 24-Hour Comic Book Day is you're doing 24 pages in 24 hours. What's the story or what's the project you're working on?
You don't have to give it away. No, we don't need spoilers. We just need to, you know, you can generalize it. What is it that you put on paper?
It's about a girl who finds the meaning of life, and she went through a very hard time, and once she got her strength back, everyone's a little scared.
Now, you were drawing a very interesting page inside.
Yes.
That, you know, I'll leave for everybody to find when they're reading the book. What page number are you at?
Inking 4.
Inking 4.
Yes.
Okay. And now you're going through, you were saying inking. Are you going to go through and pencil and ink the whole thing yourself?
I already penciled everything, but I'm doing the inking now, yes.
Oh, so you've got 24 pages penciled out, and you're going through an inking.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you're, I think, ahead of everybody in there. We won't tell anybody.
Okay, don't.
We'll keep that on the lowdown. That's really cool. And now, is this something that you'd like to see published and take around the cons?
I would love to. That would be, like, my dream come true, yes.
Very cool. And in terms of the comic book world, you were talking about you're a comic book fan since you were a kid, wanting to write comics since then. Is that something that you go around and do? Do you attend comic cons? Do you cosplay? Do you go to movies or watch from afar?
Let's see. When I was younger, it was just me and comics. Like, I mean, I knew Marvel pretty well because my brothers were into Marvel. DC, not so much. But I mean, I was into it, but not really into it. Like, I was into my own thing. So like growing up, and everyone's talking about all these famous people, I'm like, oh, I know some here and there, but not really. When the movies came out, like some of them, I was really nervous because like, please just do it right. And a lot of them were, and I was like, oh. That.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's not cool. But when I was younger, I was really, really into anime. I used to go to Anime Expo a lot, but as I got older, I was just like, eh. But I mean, anime, it did help me with my comic books and stuff like that. I've never been to Comic-Con. I really wanted to, and I still really want to. But convention-wise, not really. I never really got to expose the world, but this is my year, so this is my time.
This is your time, I see. And your female character in your book, which
yes.
is not a common thing in the comic book world, does she have any influences from the comic book world that are out there?
A lot of the things that you're going to read about her happened to me.
Okay, so you're her influence. Very cool. And when you were drawing this, were you going through with any sort of preconceived idea? Was this something you've been having kind of toil around in your head for a while, or is this something you sat down today and you were like, you know what, I'm going to share the meaning of life in a comic book?
I was thinking about it for like 3 weeks. I was like, what am I going to write? I tried to think of a script. I just wanted to go funny because I know a lot of comic books out there are serious. And I was like, let me do funny. And like, at the time I was just struggling. And I just remember my teacher said, like, don't hold yourself to one idea. Like, just let it go. And I was like, well, fuck that. Oh, sorry. I was like, I'm just going to do that then. So I had a thought in my head. I'm like, okay, well, let me do this. And then I had a thought, but it didn't happen. And so when I was under pressure, when I got in that seat at 10:15 a.m., it just came, and I was just like, I'm going with it. I'm going with the freaking flow like I did back then, and I'm going to do it now. And it worked out really, really good. Like, I got it back.
Very cool. Now, what's the title of your book?
It's TAK. It's T-A-K, and that stands for The Action Kids. It was this comic book I used to do when I was younger.
Very cool. It's cool to relate back then to the younger years and bring that forward. Are you hoping to put it out in a digital format, or do you want to put it out as a print?
Print.
Very
Always
cool.
Print.
Always print. Very cool. And real quick before we let you get back to work, what is it you're currently reading?
I haven't read anything in a while. The last thing I read was Tank Girl.
Tank Girl? Okay,
yeah.
Very cool. So up-to-date modern Tank Girl, or did you go back and read a little bit of
I think it was older-ish. I found
okay.
it at an old used bookstore, and I was like, that drawing is awesome, and I just took it. So.
Very cool. Very good way to pick a comic book. That drawing looks awesome. Well, with that, we'll let you get back to work. Best of luck in there.
Thank
you. Got
you.
10 more hours, a little bit less than 10 hours to go, but you seem well ahead of the game, so we'll look forward to TAK later this year.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Forbidden Panel is currently looking for artists. If you or someone you know would like to join us, please visit www.forbiddenpanel.com.
I'm ready now. I am back after a quick break from running up and down this table of 24-hour comic book day participants, and we have now got out here the famous center of the Inland Empire comic book explosion, AJ Herrera.
Yay, Justin! Yay.
And his trusty artist, Justin White, who have been here close to 15 hours, guys. How's it going?
That's good.
All right. Short, sweet, okay.
Cruising along, yeah.
I'm just nodding my head.
Yeah.
Mostly just to keep myself awake.
Yeah. Now, you guys have been doing this for a few years now.
Four. Our fourth year.
Going on your fourth year. Has it gotten easier?
Well, we know what to expect, and so we've kind of... It doesn't get easier because we kind of make it harder on ourselves because we know what to expect, so we kind of push ourselves a little bit more every year. So it's gotten easier in the fact that we know what to expect, and so we kind of expect more from ourselves.
Just increase the challenge.
Right, yeah. So we do more complex stories and more, I don't know, abstract stuff to where it takes more thought to draw it and think of it and stuff.
And you, from your side of the peanut gallery?
I've had to change my writing style, honestly. I think the first time we came out here, we set out to write a comic book. You know, write and draw and create a comic book without knowing what we were getting into. So we had multiple panels, heavy images, stuff like that. And then when it came down to crunch time, we started splash paging like crazy. And then, a lot of people came outside. And then our second year, we came out and I did more of a challenge for myself and had two artists on board while I wrote two different stories. And at times, that was a little hard because I found myself a little confused with what was going on. But at the same time, I found myself a lot more busier because, you know, I had Justin coming at me, okay, what next? Boom. I had the other artist coming at me, what next? Boom. So, like, it felt like a better groove. For me, anyways, to do that way. And then last year, I think we kind of wisened up and decided to go like a more, and I don't mean this as an insult toward Justin, but a more simplistic art style and more heavy on the story. That way we were sure to try and make it through the 24-hour comic book day without draining ourselves and rushing and, well, you know, cramming at the last second. So
keeping the trying to think of how to put it, keeping the images more streamlined, I guess, because we weren't hopping around so much.
Right.
It made the art better because
right.
we could concentrate on those panels and like in the first book, you know, and then the second one a lot too. We did a more traditional story with panels and we were hopping around scenes and action and stuff. And in the last two books has been more concentrated
On a more linear story.
Yeah.
Based on central characters going through it.
Right. So it simplified the art in a way that it's not moving around so much and not so varied, but it allowed us to make the images we do have better.
Right.
Because we weren't worried about putting so much into each page.
Right. We weren't trying to cram, you know, like six panels into one page with all kinds of stuff going on in the
right.
background. And like with our normal books, like with the number one issue and whatnot, you know, we have running backgrounds and all this other stuff.
And it's crazy and there's action and
right, and so like
going on everywhere.
Like it's more of a concentrated effort, and the ones that we do here are different. They're more artsy style, you know, where like just that simple little picture is very powerful. I've been saying the last book we did was my favorite one, just because the ending. But I mean, I saw somebody cry when they read the ending of that book. You know, so like that made me, I was like, oh, dude, that was awesome. And it was just, I felt it was easier for us to do.
Yeah.
That style.
Like, if I compared it to like cinema, our regular books that we would do, you know, outside of this would be like, you know, action movies. And in the 24-hour thing, we found like a psychological thriller type
right.
thing works better, to where it's, the images are powerful, but it's not so much going on that we have to like, you know, make the page explode with a billion things going
right.
on and all this kind of stuff. So it's more of a, like a psychological thing
right.
going on.
Right, and so this year we're doing it, again, a different type. Like I'm writing it in a different manner where I'm doing almost time-lapse. Kind of the same image but in a time-lapse fashion because I just want to show a more fucked up story, basically. Like, just hopelessness is what this story is portraying. So Justin seeing that he has to draw almost the same kind of thing in each panel, each page, but like different quantity, I guess is the best way to say it.
Each picture moves ahead a little bit
right.
at a time, so it's the same basic picture, but moving ahead, and each section is made of four pages, so it's moving ahead
right.
in four steps.
So like for me, the writing is a little bit better, I guess, because I'm having to tell a more depressing story, and I'm letting a lot of the images tell that story. So I don't know how Justin's feeling. Like, I feel bad to see him repeating the same images all night, but at the same time, I'm like, this is going to be a more powerful book as far as, you know,
how the story's going to come across.
So can you guys expand a little bit on the story? Maybe not give it away, but what it is the story's about?
Well, there's not much of like a story per se. I mean, there's not like a... It's like bits of stories, actually, and it's kind of divided into 4-page chunks.
Right.
And it starts off with a scene and shows that scene progress in 4 stages.
Okay.
And each scene has like different characters and different adversaries and different elements to it. And as the background, it's comparing itself to the 4 seasons. Like the scene will be progressing in 4 steps, but you'll see the seasons change. So it's kind of explaining how, and AJ pointed this out, how day after day, year after year, you know, the same shit goes on. You know, it's like, it's a never-ending battle, this, you know, zombie apocalypse thing.
Right, and it's not exactly a battle with a victory that you can be proud of. You know, so, what I'm trying to show is hopelessness. So, like, you know, the batch that Justin just finished worked on, it shows a bunch of ZKS members fighting against a few zombies, and then at the end of that batch is one member fighting against his own team that have become zombies now. That, and you know, he's just hopeless and pops a cap in his own head. You know, so it's segments of that, and it progresses through the seasons, like you said. So you see summer, winter, fall, and spring, stuff like that, and the backgrounds and what's going on, it will portray that.
Cool.
And like I said, it's more of an artsy story than
anything. And I mean, you have to actually see it and read it to fully understand it. But it's not them actually fighting through the whole year. AJ is just using the seasons in this scene to show you that this goes on
like
constantly.
All the time. It's
never
just a constant
ending.
Battle.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, it's not exactly a victory you can be proud of, because I mean, at the end of the day, you're all by yourself and killing your friends now, and having to do this battle. It's just heartbreaking. You wonder, is it really fucking worth it? You know. So.
And it's weird because the first 2 years we did this, the stories were pretty optimistic.
Right.
They're
hopeful.
They ended pretty optimistically, and then these last 2 years have been
just depressing.
Pretty depressing.
So is there a reason that you guys have gone from positivity to, not necessarily negativity, but like the darker side?
Well, honestly, it feels like, I mean, I guess it's kind of portraying real life in that after drawing and writing ZKS for like 5 years now, I'm a little burnt out on zombies, and so I feel like this is an endless battle, you know, like, because there's always adversaries, there's always something going on, and it's not something you can be proud of. You're killing people you love, you know. One minute you're holding your wife, and the next minute you're blowing her fucking brains out just to survive. So yeah, I think that's what's happening. Like, any optimism or anything that's going on, even if you win the battle, do you really win? I mean, okay, so now humanity is cut.
Oh, yeah, what's left afterwards.
Right.
You know,
you know, you're the last 10% of surviving humanity. Is it really, like, something you can celebrate? You know, like, yeah, I won. Remember my son? Remember my wife? Yeah, I don't remember anymore. They're just a stream of brains and guts and blood. So, and I think, honestly, like, realistically, if that were to happen, that's probably what it would feel like at the end of the day, you know? So.
And how are you guys feeling? We're about 9 hours out from the end. We're getting close to the 9 hours out point. How are you guys feeling with the book coming along? Are you going to block out with this thing ready to print?
Well, the pencils will be done. I mean, we'll finish. We always have. It's going slower than it has in the past years. I don't know exactly why. I mean, I'm a little more tired than usual because of my current family situation, but that may be a little bit to it. But, I mean, we'll finish. We always do.
Right.
I mean,
that's one thing I'm never, ever concerned about is if we'll finish or not. It's a matter of when we'll finish.
Yeah.
Like, do we finish at hour 20? Do we finish at hour 23 and 59 minutes?
I think the only year we ever had to use every last minute was
the first
year.
And, you know, that's when we're just like, draw me a hammer. Make that the whole page.
Yeah.
So I'm not really too worried about finishing. It's just a matter of, because it's something that we're going to walk away and be proud of. You know, that's what I'm always concerned about. So, like I said, last year, I loved that story, and when I got the emotional response that I got off of it from other people, you know, even Chris, when he read it, he just looked at me like, you know, that's what I want, you know, something. So I'm hoping to gain the same thing with that, and if that's the case, then I'm proud of it. And I'm always proud of what Justin does. Justin's just, we have that click, man. We're just like, I tell him exactly what I'm thinking, and he knows it and puts it on paper, and there's no drama.
See, and so, and the thing too is like we were saying, the this last year and this year have been more story driven. And last year, you know, AJ told me the story and like how it was gonna go, and I was just like, I was having trouble wrapping my head around art wise what it was, you know, what I was gonna do and stuff. And then we started doing it, and it turned out great. And you know, I was like, well, you know, awesome. I mean, and I always had faith in AJ as a writer. You know, I've never had any problems with his writing, but last year was the first time I didn't quite know what I was gonna do with it. And so this year, he was kind of telling me what he had in mind. I mean, he never like knows for sure what he's gonna do, but he has a general idea because he doesn't like to come in,
right,
you know, with everything set. He likes to, you know, go on the fly, which you're supposed to do. But
and well, also, you know, to be fair, my sometimes when I'm writing, like last year, what I was writing completely changed once I saw Justin's artwork and where I could go from there. I was like, oh, you know what? Let me fucking go like this. And that, to me, that's cool.
Well, that's, I think that's
what kind of makes us evolve.
I think, like, that's what this whole 24-hour comic thing is supposed,
right,
to be about. It's supposed to be about spontaneity and the writer and artist working off each other. And see, like, the first year, I even you know, did some character design, you know, ahead of time, and I didn't like it. I didn't like doing that. I wanted to just come in raw but yeah, like I said, last year, you know, I didn't quite know what I was going to do art-wise with the story AJ told me about, you know, but once we started going, it was really good, and then it came out awesome. And then this year, AJ told me a little bit what it was going to be about, and it's still the same kind of thing. I was still kind of, I don't really get what...
There's the most, he's like, okay, I don't really get it.
And then once we started and started going, you know, but I remembered last year, and I was just like, he's like, well, does that sound cool? I was like, yeah, we'll do it if you think it's going to work. Just let's do it and it'll be fine. And it is, it's going great, and it's going to be really cool, and the symbolism behind it is even more like thought-provoking than last year's. You really have to, like with the whole seasons thing, you know, it's like people who are just going to glance at it are going to go, what are they fighting, like the whole, this one battle lasted the whole year,
right.
And it's like, no, that's just representing how this is always going on,
right.
And it's going to be a much deeper, it's going to be the deepest thing we've ever done. I mean, as far as like,
right,
you know, as far as this book at all, but it's, I mean, and it is all splash pages, but it's
some powerful shit.
Yeah, it's not just, you know, some
well, you guys are using a lot of like art to tell a story too. It's
right.
Not a lot of dialogue heavy, so right, to have a bigger splash page for it makes a lot of sense.
Right, right. And so that's where, again, it's honestly like a team thing right at that point, because they may not see a lot of story, like a lot of words written on the page, but like my writing is there, and Justin's art is there, and together it's coming out to be a really good story.
Well,
you know,
AJ's always been good at telling a story without having to cram a bunch of words in there. I mean, he does it with the security strips. I mean, he's every 24-hour comic book we've done has been more story. The story's been getting deeper and deeper and deeper, and the dialogue's been getting less and less and less. You know, I think he's become more comfortable with his writing. He doesn't have to describe every scene in the writing. You know, he's like,
well, one of my favorite things in the world is to see, like, that's one of the reasons why we went ahead and printed The Plague. I mean, there's one line of dialogue in the entire book, but that art
tells
a story.
The story, yeah.
And I think that a good artist can tell
Daniel
a good story.
Yeah, storyteller, yeah.
With sequential art, and, you know, my faith is always in Justin and his ability to do so, and again, together I think we're nailing it, honestly, like, so it's awesome.
That's cool. Now, you guys seem to be the most seasoned veterans, and I mean that in the least offensive way possible, at 24-Hour Comic Book Day tonight. What are some of the tips for people who might be interested to do it next year, or maybe thinking about doing events like this?
Just
be open-minded.
Be open-minded, bring a jacket. Don't wear sandals. It gets a little chilly in there. Just, I don't know. Just be open-minded.
With padded seating, food, headphones.
Whatever makes you comfortable.
Right.
Whatever
in
makes you
element.
Comfortable drawing. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, if you like to listen to music, I normally do when I'm drawing like alone. But one of the things I like about 24-hour is, like, you know, all my friends are there. I don't get to see that often, so it's, you know, it's good to pal around with them, and I don't want to totally shut myself off from that. So I don't bring music when I'm doing this, but if that is what you want to do to draw, then bring it. I don't know, just bring
bring, honestly, you gotta be, you just gotta be open-minded, like we said. I personally, I'll bring music if I'm stuck. And, you know, there's a lot of conversation I'm sure you guys are hearing in the background, laughing and whatnot. And sometimes that's a little distracting to me, just to stay on the story point.
That's right.
I pop in the headphones, and I'm like, guys, I'm going away for like 10 minutes. And I get my groove on, I get my writing done, boom, 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 boom. And then I'm cool, and I can move forward from there. You know, so it's, you know, it depends on who you are and what you're comfortable in. And I'm not dogging on these guys at all, but, I, you know, these guys are having fun, laughing, joking around and stuff. And to me, I see that as a waste of energy, almost. Like, it's cool to hang out with your boys and all that stuff, but it exhausts you. If you want to last all 24 hours, you got to conserve that.
Yeah, I like, you know, I like being in the middle. I like being, that's why I sit at the other end of the, right, other end of the table. I like being able to chime in once in a while with those guys, but I like being able to, like, really concentrate on my stuff down at the other end, too. So
right.
I like to kind of have the best of both worlds if I can. And
plus it provides, like, a nice opportunity to get up and stretch your legs to go visit,
right,
the other side,
yeah,
of the table and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, preparedness, just, man, be comfortable. Whatever makes you comfortable, bring it.
And tough it out.
Yeah.
There's going to be times when you want to stop and, fuck it, I just want to go, you know, but, I mean, you know, obviously there's people that got to work and, you know, got stuff,
right,
to do the next day or whatever.
And that's
but
what's great about this. 24-hour comic day provides you an opportunity to actually take a day off of work or what have you and concentrate on finishing a book. I mean, we all have day jobs, we all work, and it's very hard for us to get together and actually, you know, finish a book. So here we are, you know, 4 years in a row where we've got 4 completed books out of it. And so, like, at the end of the day when we're finished, like, I'm looking at that and Justin's looking at that and we're just like, fuck yeah, we're finished.
And, you know, we've decided we're going to start doing our own 24-hour events.
Right.
Because if you make an event out of it, you set time aside for that, you know, and you plan for it. And
right, because it's hard to set time aside in your regular day.
Right.
I
can't
go home from work.
Yeah, I can't go home and say, okay, for the next 24 hours, no one bug me because I'm going to work on this straight.
Right.
You know,
and
I couldn't stay up for 24 hours straight at home anyway.
Right.
You know, I need to be in another environment.
In a place that makes you stay awake. So.
Yeah.
Get plenty of rest the night before. You know, wake up fresh, ready to go, bring whatever makes you comfortable, and then just do it.
And do not come in with a pre-composed story.
You know what? Different strokes for different folks, honestly. Like, I can't get mad at them for what they're doing, because, I mean, he's honestly working. You know, there's a lot of people actually working on what they're doing, but they're alone. You know, everybody that has that stuff, that walks in with those ideas and what have you, they're working alone. They don't have the opportunity that, like, Justin and I have, but we're working as a team. So, like, Justin doesn't have to worry about writing while he's drawing, while he's doing other stuff.
Like I said, if I was coming in just doing it by myself, I would have prepped a story.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I would have written a script and then come in and did the art.
Right.
And
so they don't have that opportunity, so I can't get angry at them.
Yeah.
They're doing the best they can, and they're finishing. That's cool.
Okay.
But for us, personally, since we're a team, that's how we do. We come in raw.
And that's part of that's what I like, is just the spontaneity, just coming in with no preconceived notions. And I knew there was going to be zombies. I knew there was going to be something about the seasons.
Yeah,
right. That's pretty much what I was doing. So,
right,
you know,
I've got the last line written in my head, and I'm good to go with that. And that's what the whole story's based off of, and that's where we go. So that's what kind of works out for us. So if you're coming in solo and pre-prepping, doing all this stuff works for you, awesome. Do it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you got to do to make the 24 hours and walk out of here with a finished book. You know, so.
Well, awesome. Thanks, guys, for taking a little break. I'm sure it was a welcomed break as we all walked outside to get some air and standing up. We're not sitting down, but we'll let you get back to it, and good luck with the rest of the book.
Thank you.
All right, I've moved down to the end of the table to a setup that is like no other here at 24 Hour Comic Book Day. I'm down here with Julian, and he has got explain this setup, Julian.
It's a Mac, iMac, and it's also a Cintiq 21UX.
That is a touchscreen for the layman, and you got a nice spread here, and you're going with the digital route for your 24-hour comic book day project. What is digital what you like to work on? Do you go back and forth, or?
I used to do a lot of like inking and penciling and then scanning it in and then just start doing it on the computer. But ever since I got the Cintiq, I just haven't tabled it. I've gone straight and just do all my pencils on the computer and ink it right afterwards, or just go straight into the ink and then work on the color.
That's cool. And what project is it that you work on outside of 24 Hour Conflict Day?
I'm a clothing designer, so I've done stuff for LucasArts, for Magic the Gathering, Dungeons and Dragons, also like Wicked, Jersey Boys, what do you call it? Book of Mormon.
Oh, okay.
I've done a lot of Broadway shows, and then like groups like Earth, Wind, and Fire, REO, and stuff like that.
Very cool. So, your story you've been working on, we've all been watching. You're at the end of the table, so the rest of the artist renders and stuff get to look down and see your work because you're displaying it on the screen, which is a really cool effect, I think. But we're able to see that.
The reason for it is the reason why I did it is I talked to Chris about it, and he says, he didn't mind me going, full on digital. But when it comes to digital stuff, it's very easy to go and pre-set yourself up and then just, kind of in a sense cheat. You can do that really easy if I had the monitor turned around. But what I did is I ended up, since this is another monitor, the computer reads it as a second one. So what I did is I mirrored it. So whatever I do on the tablet, it goes right onto the actual computer screen, because an iMac has a screen, and the whole computer's a freaking screen. So I did that so that everybody can see, not just Chris, but...
Yeah, everybody walking the stores, they will see it. And it actually looks really cool. Can you tell us a little bit about the project you're working on? The
project I'm working on is called Apartment 1018. Yeah, it's written by my brother. Basically about dog and cat, or cat and dog, whatever, that their master dies, and then they try to survive.
Okay.
That's basically the whole story in itself. And this is the first one we've done. And this is the first one that we've done. It has no words.
Oh, that's cool.
There's not a single word.
So it's all, okay. So he basically wrote an idea for a book, and then you're going through and doing it all art.
It's pure storytelling.
Very cool. And with something like this, are you guys looking to put it out as like a digital comic book, a web comic?
No, we're 24 hours for us is a test run. Okay. Any story that we want to write, or if we're working on like Tooth and Nail or other story that we've done a couple times here, especially stories that we want to dish out. So we just run it as a test. We never do any of these for print.
Okay.
I wouldn't have believed it.
And going into the 15th hours of 24 Hour Comic Day, how are you feeling on the project?
Well, I'm on page 19 now, so I'm almost done.
Yeah, are you going to cut out early? Are you hoping it? Oh, okay. Very cool, very cool. And what is it about 24 Hour Comic Day that brings you out? You were just saying it's a test project, so is that what you use this event for?
Mostly to hone my skills. Working as a professional artist, the faster you are, the more people hire you. So if I'm working quick, and I get it done on time, this is just like a big exercise for me.
Thank you.
And
for my brother, it's more like a story written, because he gets his story is done rather fast. And for me, it's just exercise.
And on the digital side of it, what tips can you give to people who are looking to go into the digital side of artwork?
Learn Photoshop.
Okay, and that's the program you're using here.
Yeah.
Is this something that you were self-taught? Did you take courses on it or things like that?
I learned on my own. My first program was Photoshop 6, and
just kind of advanced with it at each iteration.
Yeah, I just picked it up. I just started learning on my own. I didn't go to school or anything like that. I just started. Pick it up.
Cool. Well, we'll let you get back to apartment 1018, it was, correct?
Yeah.
Yes. And good luck with it.
You want to tell yourself your past self any future memos that you
AJ's giving Julian a little bit of a hard time. Julian is actually one of our dedicated listeners, and he actually recognized me of being a part of it, which was really cool for me. I feel like a giddy little school kid for being able to know that someone listens to what we actually say.
Actually, what he said was, oh, you're And Martin.
Yeah, And Martin. He said, oh, I know that guy. So that was cool. We'll be sure to pay him later for that dedicated fandom. And good luck with the book.
All right, buddy.
Hi, this is Brandy Offset of BrandyOffset.com, and every week I listen to Forbidden Panel Panelcast because AJ and Brian are the coolest dudes that I know. And because I like to hear my advertising in between the panel caps.
All right, it's almost 2 a.m. and it's time to let everybody finish up on their projects. AJ and I are taking a little smoke break outside and letting our brains rest from the onslaught of entertaining conversation going on inside. Any parting words, AJ?
I'm tired. I'm so tired.
You gotta stay awake.
I'm tired. 8 more hours.
8. Well, it's been a lot of fun hanging out at Four Color Fantasies for 24-Hour Comic Book Day. Stay tuned to the website, and we'll post more information about the books that were worked on here tonight, and we'll talk to you guys next time around. See ya.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.